The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Good morning. It is the 20th day of June 2018, the last full day of spring, although I think spring departed as a matter of fact a couple, 3 weeks ago. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. Mark on vacation this week. He will return on Monday. We say hello to our friends in San Antonio on Freedom at 1160 a.m. and you folks here in North Texas at 660 a.m. The Answer. Paul Gleiser. I'm enjoying sitting in for Mark. It's a big, big set of shoes to fill, but I'm glad to be here, and I appreciate the warm welcome that I've had. I hope you'll follow me on Twitter, at Paul Gleiser, G-L-E-I-S-E-R. I hope also you'll read my weekly column at youtellmetexas.com. We're going to let some business of yesterday spill over into today. The outcry since the weekend over the separation of children and illegal immigrants detained for criminal prosecution or detained pending a hearing on asylum has brought me to the place where I'm beginning to fear that we as a nation have lost the capacity to solve our own problems. To recap from yesterday, reacting to the outcry over allegations that the Trump administration is cruelly and arbitrarily separating children and their parents at the southern border, and that's the way it's being reported, I went to the trouble to actually learn what the policy really is and how it has been applied historically as recently as the Obama administration. And here it is in a nutshell. If you get caught entering the United States illegally, you will be detained and you will be charged with a crime. The first violation is a misdemeanor, and that is disposed of very quickly. The second violation, however, if you get caught a second time, that's a felony. In either case, if you get caught illegally entering the country and if you have children with you, during the time that your criminal proceedings are underway, be they a very short proceeding or a long proceeding, you will be separated from your children, just as all accused criminals are separated from their children while they're being prosecuted. If you are being prosecuted for a felony, that prosecution could take a while. Thus, if you care about your children, you protect them by not breaking the law. None of this is new. This is the thing that you're not hearing in the mainstream. None of this is new. It has been official policy for a long time. What's changed is the Trump administration is now actively enforcing the law, which was not happening before, or at least not to the degree that it's happening now. But almost no one is seeing it this way. As one pal of mine said to me yesterday, the logical left brain cannot overcome the more powerful right brain reaction to seeing children crying for their parents. The media completely understands this, and that's why the images and videos that you see from the border are so carefully chosen and edited. That reporting is having an effect. Former First Lady Laura Bush compared it all to the World War II Japanese internment camps. Former CIA Director Michael Hayden went a bridge way too far, comparing what's happening on the border to the Nazi extermination camps at Birkenau. That statement's completely irresponsible, deeply disrespectful of the millions who actually suffered and died at the hands of the Nazis. That is so far over the line. So here's why I say that it might no longer be possible for us to solve our own problems. The left's campaign of emotion is working. It's now 100% about crying children and 0% about enforcing the law. It's now 100% cruelty and heartlessness by the Trump administration and 0% a legitimate attempt to end the chaos and the economic cost of unfettered, out-of-control, illegal immigration through our southern border. The quality of the reporting on this story is absolutely atrocious. The demagogues appear to be winning. Texas House Speaker Joe Strauss came out yesterday in opposition to the Trump administration. A group of about 600 ministers of the United Methodist Church, of which Attorney General Jeff Sessions is a member, as am I, accused Sessions of child abuse, immorality, and racism. More than 75 former U.S. attorneys have called on Jeff Sessions to end the so-called zero-tolerance policy. The media is positively incandescent. The late-night shows are relentless, all because a duly elected administration dared to enforce existing law, law that's been on the books long before this administration took office. So, how much tolerance of lawbreaking above zero tolerance is appropriate? The alternative to enforcing the law is to not enforce the law, which means that the only way the Trump administration can silence criticism on this issue is to give illegal immigrants who are savvy enough to bring children with them a free pass into the country. That is, without legislation that's pending, I should say. We had a story on that at the top of the hour. But continuing the status quo, who will then cry out on behalf of the children who will inevitably exploit it as human pawns? So here's the talk show in all of this. Is this a watershed for the Trump administration? Is this Trump's Katrina, as some are gleefully saying? Are the leftist demagogues going to win the day on this? 866-660-5759. Your thoughts on that subject. 866-660-5759. If the demagogues win this one, I fear that we have little hope of solving our myriad other problems. If we can't enforce existing law, how do we as a nation get Social Security back on secure financial footing? That's an emotional issue. Doing so will not be easy. We're either going to have to pay more in taxes, receive less in benefits, or begin receiving those benefits later, like age 70, perhaps, instead of age 65. We've already seen Democrat TV commercials depicting Granny in a wheelchair being pushed off a cliff. If emotional demagoguery, if the emotional depictions, such as what we're seeing on the southern border, get employed against simple, irrefutable math in the debate over Social Security, for example, does math have a chance? 866-660-5759. The same for Medicare and Medicaid. Both are insolvent. Both have the potential to literally bankrupt the country. Are we going to get to see some poor, palsy old lady in a TV commercial opening a can of Mighty Dog for her dinner as the solemn announcer intones that poor old Myrtle is having to choose between food and medicine? Does that commercial win over the hard, immutable financial facts about Medicare? Can we solve our own problems? How do we ever, ever reduce the massive trillion-dollar budgets if reducing spending is going to hurt somebody? Who's going to make these hard choices, and do we have the stomach for the hard choices? We have a president who's demonstrated a willingness to take on tough fights. We have a president with a stomach. The question is, do we, the people, still have a stomach? We defeated two vicious regimes during World War II. We put men on the moon. We built the most successful, most prosperous society in all of history. But that was then. Do we still have what it takes? 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. And because we really got into yesterday's topic, which is in large measure spilling into today, we never really aired out the bonus question I threw out, so here it is again, because I think it's a good one, and it's completely different from our main topic. It's something I'd like to hear your thoughts on. You arrive at work, you get on the elevator with a coworker, and you notice alcohol on her breath. Do you A, quietly take her aside and say something, or B, quietly tell the boss about it, or C, mind your own business? 866-660-5759. What are your ethics on that issue? And have you ever had it happen? Because I have. I've noticed alcohol on the breath of coworkers on several occasions throughout my career, early in the morning, and that's a person that's got a problem. What do you do about it? 866-660-5759. Yesterday, my wife saw this. I didn't see it, but it is illustrative of what's going on. She was watching CBS This Morning with Gayle King and whatever the rest of them. I forget their names. But Gayle King was interviewing somebody who was actually trying to explain rationally and calmly what the president is trying to do and what the actual policy is on the border and why these kids, why this situation has arisen in the first place. And he was trying to explain it as my wife was explaining to me. And as he began making sense, Gayle King just cut him off, just refused to listen. Because if you when you start hearing the actual rational discussion of it, and it starts getting in the way of the emotional discussion of it, those who are emotional about it can't tolerate that. So we get back into the emotional arguments. And if everything is going to be our hyper-emotional responses to the inevitable sacrifices that are going to have to be made and the inevitable hard choices that are going to have to be made in order to solve the whole list of problems that this administration has inherited that have been kicked down the road for decades, for administration after administration, do we have what it takes to stand up to that? 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. There is no point in putting this off. We have a full board of calls on this already, so let's get kicked off with George and Oak Point. You're first on the Mark Davis Show with Paul Gleiser sitting in. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Paul. You're doing a great job. I'm really enjoying it.
Thank you.
I actually lived in Tyler, went to Tyler Junior College in the early 70s.
You're an Apache. Good for you.
Oh, yeah, and I love it. I love it. That was over 40 years ago. My fraternity brothers are still getting together every year.
Good for you.
Yeah, on the immigration thing.
Yes, sir.
I am a conservative all the way through and through. If we don't stand together and stand up for the rule of law, our country is going to go away. We cannot go on. So I totally 1,000% agree with you. We've got to enforce, and this problem will eventually begin to slowly fade away, maybe quickly fade away. But we got to bite the bullet right now, not to use a bad pun, but.
Yeah, you can't say bullet. We're going to talk about that at 8 o'clock. Yeah, you can't say bullet. Sorry, you can't say bullet anymore.
I'm right sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I knew I was making a mistake the second I said it. And we love people, and we don't want to see children separated from their parents. That's horrible.
Very emotional images that you're seeing.
Yes.
Very emotional images.
We conservatives better stand together. We better stand together for the midterm elections and for 2020. We better do it or we're going to lose this country.
Do you think the demagogues are winning? Because I kind of think they are.
Because I think, and I hate to say that, but yes, because emotions are so powerful and people just flow with their emotions and don't put a lot of people. And I used to be that way. But back when I was at Tyler, I was probably that way. But, emotions are powerful.
The reality is our southern border has been out of control. We were promised in 1986, mm-hmm. during the Reagan administration, we got all these people that are here illegally. It was a fairly small number at the time. 3 or 4 million is what the official number was. Okay, tell you what mm-hmm. we're going to do. That ship has sailed. They're here. We're going to give them status. Boom. But you tell you what, no more. That's how we're going to solve this problem. And then, of course, the government did not do what it promised it was going to do.
Right.
And now the official estimate is 12 million. Some people say it's 30 million.
I bet it's a lot more than 12.
Yeah, I think it's probably more 12 or whatever the number is. If there is an error in the number, the error is on the low side. There are more than what they're saying. And there's nothing there, and we as a nation simply can't afford the social mm-hmm. cost of allowing people to just walk into the country anymore. So some very, very hard things have to get done.
Yeah.
But then you get, the reporting, as I said in the monologue, the reporting is absolutely hideous on this. They're just not doing a good job of explaining the issue to the American people in a way that they can understand it so that rational judgments can be made. We're getting all caught up in the emotion. I don't think, I don't know whether Laura Bush really understands mm-hmm. what the policy has been. George, so you wanted to opine on the bonus question. Go quick because I've got to take a break.
Okay. I was just going to say I put a lot of thought into that. I think I would – if that situation occurred and I smelled alcohol, you know, pretty significantly, I would, if I knew the person, I think I would talk to them about saying something to management. I don't know. I think I would maybe observe the person for a couple of more days before I took any action. But if I knew them personally, I think I would say something.
All right, George, thank you. Great call. Great leadoff call. We appreciate it. That opens up a line, 866-660-5759. More of your calls coming up after the break here on 660 AM The Answer DFW. Freedom 1160 AM San Antonio. The time coming up on 722. Coming up 7:27, Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here on The Mark Davis Show, 660 AM The Answer DFW, Freedom 1160 AM in San Antonio. Do we as the people of the United States have the stomach to solve our own problems, as illustrated by this whole brouhaha over children at the border? Does emotion trump reason and concrete action in America now? That's the question, 866-660-5759. To Will in Dallas. Will in Dallas, you're next on The Mark Davis Show. Good morning.
Mr. Glazer, I've enjoyed listening to you this week. You're doing a fantastic job.
Very nice of you to say. Thank you.
I'm a veteran and also a retired Texas peace officer, and I can't tell you how many times that I had to arrest an individual for a crime, and there were kids in the home, and I was taking that person away. And, of course, it was upsetting to the kids. What child wouldn't want to be with their parents, even those that have committed a crime. The kids don't process that. They don't understand it. But every county sheriff in the state of Texas under the Code of Criminal Procedure is required to follow certain procedures, and it doesn't include taking the kids to jail with that parent. And I'd like for all of these hypocritical liberals who are crying out now, they're forming organizations on the fly about keep families together. Where was their outrage before? This is about open borders. It's about breaking down the family unit. It's about doing little to nothing to solve the issues in our communities. And you're asking the right question. I really fear for, especially in our urban counties, that individuals, and with all due respect to Mrs. Bush, that they really aren't going to be the ones to reach into their pockets and pay for this. What are we going to do on a county-by-county basis now, have family jails? I mean, it's just follow the logic. But this is about votes. This is about votes for the Democrats. This is not about genuine humanitarian concern. So we'll see where this goes. But God help us. I think you're asking the right question. Can we solve our own problems? And that especially applies to the urban counties where we're just being hit over the head with hypocrisy.
Well, do you not agree with me? My belief is, with respect to what we're seeing on the border, if we hold firm, this becomes a self-liquidating problem, because the word comes up and the word goes down. The word will get back that a kid won't get you in anymore.
Of course, the solution's obvious, and I have colleagues that I've served with that are from their Hispanic background, for example, Latinos, that agree with me. But when they try to talk about this within their own families, their sons and daughters and their extended family will club them over the head with it. And it's outrageously hypocritical. And they need to really think about it. And also the issue on abortion, you know, ripping a child from his mother's womb, that's a separation. And they're not standing up to speak about it. People need to search their hearts before they start opening their mouths.
Absolutely agree. Will, great call. Thank you for your service as a peace officer. And that opens up a line at 866-660-5759. You are listening to 660 AM The Answer, Dallas-Fort Worth. Freedom 1160 AM in San Antonio. This is Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. Mark Davis out this week. We'll be back on Monday. I'm Paul Gleiser. Follow me on Twitter at Paul Gleiser, Gleiser. Or my weekly column at YouTellMeTexas.com. The topic on the floor this morning is, do we as a nation have the capacity, or have we lost the capacity to solve our own problems if we are going to be manipulated by the emotional images of children at our southern border, children that are there and are being afflicted because their parents are behaving illegally? Do we have what it takes to actually solve our problems? Or are we going to just simply acquiesce, throw our hands up and say, we can't solve our problems, emotion wins every time? That's the topic. On that subject, we go to Dallas and Holly. Holly, you're on the Mark Davis Show. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good show.
Thank you.
As a former resident of Louisiana, I was raised there. I am well past being over the Katrina combination because.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean the Katrina
combination? Saying is this Donald Trump's Katrina?
Got it. Okay.
It was not George Bush's Katrina. That was Governor Blanco and Ray Nagin's Katrina.
Absolutely it was, but almost nobody understands that, Holly.
That's correct.
That's the question here. Have we lost our capacity to, A, understand our problems, and then, B, rationally fix them?
Well, no, we don't have the intestinal fortitude to fix them.
Well, that's not good. That doesn't speak well of our future.
No, it does not. Terrifies me. Keeps me awake at night.
And so just a real quick class on Katrina and George W. Bush and his handling thereof. George W. Bush was on the case early on. It was a legitimate mistake, but turned out to be a mistake. He actually respected the law. He kept waiting for that feckless Governor Blanco to say, "We need you to come into our state."
That's
Mr.
Right.
President.
He called her on the phone and said, "What can I do for you? You tell me what you want and what you need."
Because
she said, "We got it."
Yeah, she also was on the airplane with him on Air Force One. He kept saying, here's the thing. The people don't understand. The law is the president can't just send troops and he can't. The federal government cannot invade a state. It has to be invited. And in my opinion, listen to me. I'm going to say he should have just ignored it, given what he was dealing with, and just sent them because he was waiting for Governor Blanco to say, "Please, Mr. President, send in the cavalry." And she never could. She dithered so badly. She was so shaken that she couldn't make a decision. And it all fell on George W. Bush, and it did not get reported correctly. And if it had been reported correctly, people would understand. But that's what we're up against now, Holly.
This story
is not being reported correctly. If it were being reported correctly, we as a nation would have a different response to it, and maybe we wouldn't have Laura Bush comparing it to Japanese internment camps, which I think is a bridge too far, or former CIA Director Michael Hayden, my God, comparing it to the Nazi concentration camps, the death camps at Birkenau. That is so offensive that he would do that. That I don't really know how to respond, but my question, nevertheless, is we you and I can agree all day that George Bush's Katrina moment shouldn't have been his Katrina moment, but it was his Katrina moment. So is this Donald Trump's Katrina moment?
I don't know. I think that he has the proper intention, and for Chuck Schumer to stand up and say, "I have a pen here, use my pen," that takes us back to executive orders. When the president is clearly saying, "Congress, do your job, put it on my desk and I'll sign it," I wonder if Chuck Schumer will offer to loan his pen if they actually put a bill on his desk.
Well, yeah, and then does Chuck Schumer want the problem solved, or does he want the issue? And my belief about Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and all of their ilk is they would much rather have the issue. And they're doing a good job of getting that done. And that's my fear. So do we as a nation have what it takes to get past all of that and rationally understand our problems and then rationally address them? And that goes to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, balancing the budget, fixing the infrastructure, making the hard choices that we the people, supposedly self-governing, are being called upon to make. Holly, do you have an opinion on the bonus question? You go to work and you smell alcohol.
You talk to that person. I've encountered that before, and typically that person, in my experience, is drunk from last night.
Well, so yeah, I tell you what, Holly, in my experience, a lot of times it's drunk from this morning. It's people with a real drinking problem
that too.
So yeah, the question is, if you smell alcohol in a coworker's breath first thing in the morning, do you say something to the coworker, say something to the boss, or mind your own business? So what's your vote?
Coworker, you talk to him.
Say something to that person. Okay, so we have one for mind your own business and one for say something. Holly, thanks for your call. Have a great day, and we appreciate it. That opens up a line, 866-660-5759. James, you have been waiting patiently. You're next on the Mark Davis Show. Good morning.
Hi, I'm actually from Tyler, but
well,
Alice Berkey.
Well, hello to Tyler. I'll be there shortly. I'll be there this afternoon.
I'm sure you will. You got things to do there. You know, people have to remember what happened to California and the states like Arizona back when Reagan was in office. I'm in the healthcare industry, and they kind of forget how many hospitals and medical facilities had to close up back during that time when there was such a large influx of illegal immigrants in the United States, using up all of the medical industry's money, if you will, because many hospitals had to close down. They could no longer afford to stay open. People seem to forget about that.
Well, the practical reality is, and I used this illustration yesterday to try to simplify it and make it completely understandable. You come home from work, and you find that a family has moved into your house without your permission, has just simply moved in. And, you know, to the thinking of a lot of people out there right now, if they've moved in, if they can plead their case that the house they moved out of and the neighborhood they came from was riddled with crime and the house was falling in and they didn't feel safe, and your house is nice and clean and in a safe neighborhood and they do feel safe, there's a lot of belief out there that those people should have the right to stay in your house. And that's, you wouldn't accept that on a personal level. Why should we accept that on a national level? People just decide they'd rather be here and just show up. That's the question we're trying to address. Do we have the stomach to say, no, we get to decide who comes in and who doesn't, and we feel bad for your kids, and we feel bad for you, and we feel bad for the fact that where you come from is so racked with poverty that you are without hope? We get that, but can we as a nation say, look, as much as we appreciate and empathize with you, we can't let everybody in? Do we have the stomach to do that? I'm starting to doubt.
We have to, but here's part of the problem, is that those countries are not just riddled with poverty. It's riddled with the government themselves being on the take and robbing from these people, basically. And, you know, we've been dealing with this stuff even before Reagan was in office. So how many years has that been?
Yeah, it's been
40, 50?
40-plus years. James, real quick, the bonus question. You smell alcohol in a coworker's breath. You talk to the coworker, talk to the boss, or mind your own business?
Well, that's kind of a touchy situation.
Yes, it is. That's what makes it a good bonus question.
Yeah. I guess you talk to the person and possibly the boss. I don't know, and let the boss go talk to him.
That's a big step, though, going and telling the boss.
James, yeah, I know.
I appreciate it. Keep Tyler in good shape for me until I get there later this afternoon. Thanks for your call. That opens up a line, 866-660-5759. We have Paul in Dallas. Paul, you're on the Mark Davis Show with Paul Gleiser filling in. Go.
Hello, how are y'all doing? I'm a new listener and a first-time caller.
Thank you, sir.
I was wondering about the child separation policy. Are the people who are coming in that are actual people who are trying to get the, what do they call it when you're trying to come in to get asylum? When they're trying to get asylum,
right?
Are those people getting turned back also?
No. Well, here's the deal on asylum. First of all, asylum requests are up 1,700%. Because the policy has been, particularly under the Obama administration, is you show up claiming asylum, you are scheduled for a hearing. That hearing is some months or even years in the future. And then you're turned loose into the country, and surprise, surprise, those people never show up for their hearing dates. And so requesting asylum has been a de facto free pass into the country. We know that has stopped. And so people showing up. And understand, there's a way to claim asylum. You go to an entry point. You go to a legal entry point and say, I am Joe Doakes. I am oppressed and threatened, and my life is in danger in my home country, and I need asylum. You make application that way. That's not what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with people here who get caught entering illegally, sneaking in, and then say, I need asylum, and they've got their kids. And so now we're saying, look, if you want asylum, that's fine. We're going to hold you instead of turning you loose so we never see you again. And we're going to hold you in a place that's not appropriate for children, so we're going to take your children and hold them someplace separately. And then you get the wailing and the crying, and you get the images on TV that you've been seeing, and you get the pulling of hair and the gnashing of teeth that we've heard since over the weekend. But what's really trying to happen, what the president, what the administration is trying to do, is bring some order out of chaos. And the policy is, with respect to people who just get caught entering illegally, irrespective of asylum, that is a criminal act. If it's the first time you've done it, it's a misdemeanor. Those are disposed of very quickly, and you're turned around and told to go home. If you try it a second time, that's a felony. Now you're a repeat offender, and you, like any accused felon, will be separated from your kids. That's how it's working, Paul. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. And also, what are they doing with the children? I mean, are the children ever going to be able to go back to their family?
Of course. They're not ripping them away. They're not trying to rip children away from their parents for life. They're trying to take children and care for them properly while a legal proceeding is underway. You know, and the same, it's like the sheriff or the peace officer that called here a little while ago. You know, there happens every day, Paul. People get arrested that have kids. Their kids have to be taken care of while the criminal proceedings are underway, and that's what we do here. Health and Human Services cares for the kids. Would I want to be one of those kids? Absolutely not. But in order, you know,
I mean, for a misdemeanor, though?
A misdemeanor, they turn around real quickly. Handle it like a traffic ticket. They handle the
I know, but okay.
Those are turned around. It's a matter of hours, and you're sent on your way. It's the felonies and the asylum requests that are causing the problems.
So they haven't closed the border.
Well, that's just, they're trying to close the border. That's the deal, Paul. But the border's been wide open. We're trying to get it, trying to restore order out of chaos, and that's what's causing all the problems.
The port of entries are
port of entries. Port of entries. The rules are enforced at the port of entries as they have always been. And showing up at a port of entry doesn't guarantee you admission, but it is the orderly process by which you can ask for accommodation inside the United States. Got it?
Mm. Hey, when did this policy start, sir?
When did what policy start?
To take away people's family?
Well, that's not to take away people's family. The Trump administration began enforcing the law. The law has always been on the books. It just wasn't enforced. Now it is. And Attorney General Jeff Sessions says, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. That's been characterized as zero tolerance. I'm not sure he said zero tolerance. Maybe he did. But we're not going to tolerate it anymore. And as a result, we now have what you see because we said, look, the chaos stops. We're going to enforce the law. The law's been on the books for a long, long time. That's the best I can explain it. Paul, appreciate your call because we've got to take a break. I'll tell you what. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take one more call really, really quick. Randy and Irving, you got about a minute. Go.
Yes. Boo, hoo, hoo. I'm so sick and tired of the media running their negative narrative on Trump. And if you break all their consequences.
Randy, I tell you what, love you, man, but that cell connection is not going to work. What it says on the board here is he's sick and tired of the narrative, the media controlling the narrative, and he's right about that. The media is controlling the narrative, and if the media were doing its constitutionally protected job, it would be controlling the narrative in a responsible and balanced way, which is not happening. And that's the reason that we have all of this emotional reaction and 600 Methodist ministers writing nasty letters to Jeff Sessions. Got to take a break. The time is 7:51 here on 660 AM, The Answers in DFW. Freedom 1160 AM, San Antonio, 7:51. Don't go away. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. Rick in Arlington, I've told you off the air, you got a real quick minute here to make
okay.
Your point. Go.
One, you're right absolutely about New Orleans. I was on the DOT emergency response team, and we saw what Governor Blanco did, but George Bush was a gentleman. I don't think that Trump's going to react the same way in this case, and I think Trump would rather win in a tough fight than surrender with dignity. And that's what a lot of Republicans have a habit of doing. And up to 70% of the kids coming across the border didn't come with their parents. They were sent by their parents. So the whole story is not getting out, but I think Trump will make sure it does. And that's my point. I think it's not going to be handled the way Katrina was, even though the media is trying to make it look like it.
Rick, great point. Glad we took the time. Thank you. We're going to say goodbye to our friends in San Antonio. Freedom is set at 1160 a.m. Here in DFW, 660 a.m., The Answer DFW. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. More of your calls coming up after the break.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.